Things a little different today, but that's all right. That's a good deal. We're glad you're here. Again, any visitors, we're glad you're visiting with us. Got a few announcements to give out before the church, and then I'll get out of the way. I don't want to hinder any. We may even have shepherds abiding in the field by night. I don't know, but whatever we got, I don't want to hinder that. So if we could, there'll be a deacons meeting tomorrow night, 7 o'clock for the deacons. Back in the floor, you're on the table there. There's a sign-up sheet for new members class. That's good when you can have new members class. When you've got a reason to have one, that is great. I saw 6 or 8 names signed up, and there's still room for more. But be sure, and if you're a new member, you want to know how the church operates, what the church belief is, things like that, you'll want to look into that. Today there'll be no children's church due to the play and so forth. Don't forget next Sunday, 11 o'clock, we'll have the cantata. We'll be here. We'll have, like normal church, a Sunday school, then the cantata, then the pastor will come up and preach. Should be a good Christ-filled morning. Don't forget, there'll be no service on Wednesday night, December the 25th. That's, of course, that's Christmas night. That, I do believe, is all the notes I've been given. One other note I wanted to let you know about is for those that helped participate in the Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Collection this year. The goal we had set for the countywide area, not Scott County, but all the counties involved here in Southwest, was 10,500 boxes. And if you all remember Shara that came and spoke back in late September, early October, she had a different goal. Her goal was set at 11,111 boxes. Well, when the actual count was done this year, there was 12,019 boxes. That was an increase of 21.4% that God stirred the hearts to act in that way. And we praise Him for it. Again, as I had stated before, according to the logistics, 1 out of every 5 boxes reaps a convert. A child is saved in 1 out of every 5 boxes. So to God be the glory. As we proceed into the service, if we could, let's bow for a word of prayer, and we'll proceed from there. Father, we do thank You for this beautiful, wonderful day You blessed us with. We thank You, Father, for who You are and for what You've done. And Father, we're not here to worship a babe in a manger. We're not here to worship a dead Christ in a tomb. We're here to worship the living, true Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that You would be with each and every one as they take part in the service. I know the plays and so forth, and, Father, I appreciate that. The children and the church needs to have those foundational scriptures to show us where You brought us from, how You brought Christ onto the scene. What a great and marvelous sacrifice He was for us. And through His resurrection, may the gift of salvation possible to all mankind. Now, Father, we pray for the many prayer requests that have been made today. Still a lot of sickness throughout the church. A lot of family members in need of Your special touch, Father. Your strength, Your encouragement, Your healing, Father. So we just pray Your will would be done in each and every situation. Father, again, we praise You and we thank You. We ask You to be with our pastor, Father, as he stands and proclaims Your word. May Your word go out and may it pierce every heart here today. May we all be able to say it was good to be in the house of God today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
has come to earth to bring us joy, and I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, with every breath I'm singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Find a place for you where coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only Son was born. Oh, hallelujah! 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 Thank you.
Our kids. Our children and our youth are going to present the play Happy Birthday Jesus. As we know, Christmas, that's the whole point. And we just hope you enjoy our little play.
Chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David over his kingdom, to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness. From now on and forever, the zeal of the Lord of Armies will accomplish this.
Baby in a manger stall.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will bring joy to all men. Today in the town of David, a Savior was born unto you. He is Jesus Christ. Let this be a sign for you. You will find him lying in a manger, wrapped in clothes. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to all of those whom his favor rests."
When the angel had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off, and they found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Upon the cross, forgiveness was his plan.
John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ.
John 14:6. Jesus turned and I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me.
Psalms 86:5. For you, Lord, are kind and ready to forgive, abounding love to all who call on you.
Amen. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
So the baby of Bethlehem became a man, died, and rose again, ready as we ask him to be Lord, Savior, Friend.
John 15:13-15. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore, because a servant does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father.
Happy birthday, Jesus, for bringing Christmas Day, meeting us to where we are to show us all the way.
Luke chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which was just as they had been.
Isn't that great, everyone? Yes. Give another round of applause. I've got one more announcement. We will be having service on the 1st. So
I'll be here.
Yeah, Brian will be here, so come be with us. We'll all stand and grab a hymn, and we'll sing number 86 for our offertory hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, I
This morning, I would like to say what an awesome job our future did this morning. I like that. I like having our all the way from college and career all the way down. That is the future of Thomas Village Baptist Church, and I'm so thankful for them. I do know we've at least got one praise or testimony, and so you be ready after she gets done. All righty, sister. Amen.
You know, spiritual weaknesses, and God uses this experience. What it looks like when something awful has happened, and how even in the midst of that awful tragedy, God moves.
Yes.
And how He moves in the tiniest ways. Now, this may not seem like much to anybody, but to somebody, it's going to be a flag. It might bring to mind something little that's happened that shows that God is in your life and is here and is working. I had an automobile accident some years ago and was left with some neck problems. And chiropractic and massage got me back on track. But I require a firm pillow, a special kind of pillow, to keep my neck from hurting. I had a couple months ago purchased a couple of my pillows. Everybody's seen my pillow, right? And y'all know the story of Mark. He was a crack addict who came to God. And he's used his invention to really do magnificent things for people. Well, I lost my pillows in the fire. And something said to me one day last week, you know, you should call them and see if they have any hardship departments. Maybe they'll refund your pillows. So I started to call that day. As a matter of fact, I did call. And something was going on, and I had to get off the phone. And so I didn't complete the call. But it kept nagging me. You know, you should try that. You should try and see if God will put it upon somebody's heart to help you. Because I couldn't justify the cost. Well, I called. And as opposed to the first time I called and had to hang up because something was going on, this time something said, don't use the you know, when you call and you go to this department, punch two and punch three. Something said, don't go to the department that you usually would go to. Go to this department. So I did. A woman answered the phone. She says, I told her, you know, you can verify what I'm about to tell you with my church or with the county that I live in. Because I'm not trying to run a scam on you. So I told her we had a house fire and we lost everything. And asked if there was any way that we just bought our pillows. They had a record of that. If there was any way they could be replaced. And she said to me, you know, I don't usually answer the phone. I don't even usually work in this department. But funny enough, I work with Mike's Restoration Foundation, the people who, I guess, you know, are struggling with addiction. And I work with him personally. And so, you know, this was really funny. I said, you know this was not funny. You know this was not accurate. You know exactly what this was, don't you? She said, yes, I do. So she said, as soon as we hang up this phone, I'm going and talking to Mike directly.
Glory.
I'm sure that she said that I'm not the person that can make the decision because I'm not even supposed to be answering the phone. But I'm sure after hearing what you have had to say that somebody's going to do something. She said, as a matter of fact, when I hang up the phone, I'm going to go downstairs and talk directly to the person that can do something about this. And we may do something about it today. So I just cannot tell you how God moves and how God has moved the members of this church to support us, to hold us up. It's as if God has placed this human shield around us. And the love that is coming from that human shield around us is so bright that I cannot feel the darkness
Amen.
Of the loss. And I just want to tell you to look for the little bitty things that God does. The little bitty things. Because it's when He answers those little bitty prayers and you praise Him, like losing my 16 chickens all of a sudden, that I enjoy the eggs and the meat. And I thought when my chickens disappeared after years of raising chickens, I thought it was because we were getting ready to move. But no. It was because God knew we were going to be moving and we didn't need to have to worry about hauling 16 chickens. What was I going to do? I'm trying to worry about a place over my head. I got to worry about 16 little chickens. You know? So, you know, I want to say thank you. I have a voice. I'm not going to shut up.
Amen.
Sorry, Brian. For commandeering. But I can't keep my peace.
Amen.
And I want to keep my peace.
Yes.
I want y'all to know God lives. He's real.
Amen.
Trust me. Amen. Amen. And I pray that more of you will take from Sister Pam's testimony and be willing to show, even if it's a little thing, testify what God has done for you. I really believe that I've seen God work miracles this December, and I'm thankful for that. All right, if you would please stand with me this morning. I want to remind you that nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus has done for you. And if you'll open up your heart and your life to Him today, He'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 6, we'll read through verse 7. You've already heard this once this morning. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. As you're being seated, if I had a title for this morning's message, it would be Christmas Wishes, Hopes, and Promises. Christmas Wishes, Hopes, and Promises. As we press into the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season, it takes effort and commitment to keep our focus on, quote unquote, the reason for the season. And as I was praying with someone this morning, we know that Christ Jesus should not only be the reason for the season, but as believers, He should be the reason for our living. I'll be honest with you, I don't know how people that do not know Jesus Christ get out of bed every morning. I just don't see a purpose and a point of getting up without Jesus. And I'll be honest with you, even with Jesus, it's difficult at times. But praise God, with Jesus, not only is there a purpose in doing it, there's strength to do it. In Jesus' name. But we've talked about this. You remember the Christmas, if you break it down in Old English, it's broke down into Christ and Mass. The worship and acknowledgement of the Messiah. The worship. And so this holiday in and of its name is given to the worship of the Savior. And in this world we live in, they're trying to even take that away from us. The culture and the society in which we live in push our businesses to say Happy Holidays. And some specifically put Xmas, trying to cross out Christ from Christmas, is the purpose in it. But last week, if you remember, we talked about keeping Christ the center of Christmas. And we looked at some modern traditions, where they come from, and how we use it. I leaned over and I recognized this morning as the worship team, and I love that emblem that they had up there this morning with the worship team, but I love the singing better. But everything in this world was created for the glory of the Lord. And all of it's been ripped off and misused by the enemy. So praise God when we get the opportunity to take it and use it for the glory of the Lord. And so having said that, we looked at some things that may have come from ungodly and pagan ideas, but praise God, we can take them and use them for the glory of the Lord. One thing that we looked at last week, and I don't know if many of us had even heard of it, and that is the season of Advent. The season of Advent, that is a specific time of December, from December the 1st all the way up through the 24th. And it's marked on each Sunday that we celebrate a specific idea as pertaining to the newborn King. The first Sunday, we would light a candle, or we would be mindful of the hope of the promised Messiah. And then the second Sunday, we would begin to consider the preparations and the preparations that we would need to make in our own lives to receive that newborn Messiah. And then the third Sunday, we would consider the joy and the peace that would come in the newborn Messiah. And then we would think about on the fourth Sunday, as we lit the candle, we would think about the love that Jesus had within Him when He stepped down from the throne. Angels bowing and bending, declaring, "Holy, holy, holy." He chose to walk away from that and to come down here and to be involved in our situation and not just observe the situation. And then we looked at the Christmas tree. Originally, the Christmas tree comes from pagan and ungodly traditions. However, the Germans took the tree and they made the tree a reminder of the original sin, of how Adam and Eve ate of the tree of life and we rebelled against our Creator. But then they also took the tree, which would become a place of this new, that this newborn baby would become a man and lay his hands and his feet down on that tree as punishment for my sins and for your sins. And the tree, an evergreen, a reminder of the everlasting love and sacrifice available to all that would come to the Messiah. And then this one just struck me the most, and that was the Christmas flower, the poinsettia. Always around the church and always around the homes at this time of year. But why? Custom says that the cluster in the middle of it is a picture of the Star of Bethlehem, and the red petals bring to mind the crimson blood that would flow as He laid His life down on the tree. But also, as I studied, the poinsettia is a flower, unlike many flowers, that can grow and thrive in the coldness of winter. But also it has the ability to remove formaldehyde from out of the environment. Jesus thrived in the coldness of death and the grave and came back up again out of it. And He's able, when you think about formaldehyde, you can't help but think about funeral services and embalming and all that. Jesus is able to take away the power of sin from our lives and death out of our lives, and to put into our lives joy and life eternal. And even in some regions, the poinsettia is used for hair and wart removal, as well as mouth pain and tooth pain. And Jesus desires to trade our ungodliness and our pain for His joy and His peace. And then lastly, we talked about the star. While there are many theories on how the star happened and what the star was, it all boils down to two specific purposes for the star. The star was to guide those that would come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to declare that it would change the world in eternity. And later on, we're going to talk about the other purpose. But this year, I encourage you, and I even had to tell my wife this week, I said, "Did you not listen to the sermon last Sunday about keeping Christ at the center of it?" Well, today I want to talk about the hopes and wishes and promises of Christmas. On December the 25th, many children will wake up to see if they will receive what was on their Christmas wish list that they had sent to Santa. Now, my youngest have learned that not only do you send it to Santa, but you send it to Papaw. And if Santa don't do it, Papaw will do it. I looked it up. According to Amazon.com, here are some of the 2019 top Christmas toys. Number 7, Barbie's Dream Plane. Number 6, Ryan's World Giant Mystery Egg. You buy it and you don't even know what you're buying. Number 5, Crayola Scribble Scrubble Particular Pets. Number 4, this was my favorite, the Glow Glam Nails Sampler, or Stamper. This is my funnest to say. Number 3, the Wowee Pink Foam Baby Shark Official Song Pet. Puppet. The Wow, I'm going to say that again because it's so fun and I messed it up. Number 3, the Wowee Pink Fong Baby Shark Official Song Puppet. Number 2, Crayola Arctic Color Chemistry Set. And number 1, and just by raise of hand if you've ever heard of this, Candy Locks. I thought so. That's a 12-inch doll that smells like lemonades, or you can get it to smell like strawberries. And little youngins is going to get up to see if their wee, wow, pink fong song puppet is going to be there. But then there's teens, AirPods, iPhones. The iPhone 11 with the awesome camera view. And the PS4, the Nintendo Switch, or maybe a new car, and even adults. Jewelry, guns, electronics, clothes, a 3-day, 2-night Texas deer hunt with their daddy. You know, you don't have to be specific. You don't have to be specific or anything. And then there's Christmas hopes. Hopes like this. I hope there's snow for Christmas. I hope I can afford the gifts for Christmas. I hope Mom and Dad can be here for Christmas. I hope my marriage will make it through Christmas. I hope my loved one will be healthy for Christmas. Many, many more. And then there's the Christmas promises. One of the most known is I'll be home for Christmas. And I can't help but think of our military when I think about that. And what they suffer and go through. I promise to get you exactly what you want for Christmas. I promise to be on my best behavior around your family this Christmas. I promise I'll stay sober this Christmas. And for some, these Christmas wishes will come through. Many of these little cute girls and little boys will get up to find their Corolla or Crayola, Scribble Scrabble, and Glow Glam Nail Sampler. That's a tongue twister right there. Quite a few teens will get their new iPhones or their earbuds or their first car. And even adults may get their jewelry or their 3-day, 2-night Texas deer hunt with their daddy. Also, for some, many Christmas hopes will come true. Some will get snow. Some will have long lost family in. Their money will be there for the gifts, and maybe even health will be restored. But, and then there's the Christmas promises. Some will make it home for Christmas. Some will stay sober. But if truth be told and reality be known, most so-called Christmas wishes will not be fulfilled. Most so-called Christmas hopes will be dashed, and the majority of Christmas promises will go unmet. And that's the truth. But today we're going to look at some Christmas wishes and some promises that were kept, which will, if we let them, help provide us with hope that will not only carry us through the Christmas season, but it will carry us all the way through to eternity. The first hope is I want you to look at a hope and a wish for a king. a hope and a wish for a king. Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall shoot forth, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the Spirit of fear of the Lord. Jeremiah 23:5 says this, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up from David's righteous branch, and he shall reign as a king, and deal wisely, and shall execute judgment, justice, and righteousness in the land." Now, Israel, as God's chosen nation and peculiar people, it was not God's initial will for them to have a human or an earthly king. Many times we read this phrase, "I will be their God, and they shall be my people." For many years, they were ruled by judges. That's why we have the book in the Old Testament called Judges. These were temporary leaders and deliverers appointed by God to help, guide, and protect His people. They were not perfect people, but they were the men and women that God used. And yes, I did say women. People like Gideon, the idea of the Gideons that gives away the Bibles and make sure that the Bible goes forth. That's where they come from. Eli, Samuel, Barak, alongside of Deborah, God used them and many others to help lead and guide His nation. But see, Israel got to the point to where they wanted peer pressure. It's not only for children and youth or even adults, but it goes for nations as well. And I think that we as America are giving in to peer pressure from all around this world. But see, they rejected the judges. Specifically, they rejected Samuel over in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. And Israel said this, "Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all other nations." We want to be like everybody else. We don't want to be different. And while Israel did have a few kings, most notably the greatest king probably in the eyes of God was King David. But ultimately, because of having a king, the nation of Israel rejected God, split as a nation, became Israel and Judah, and ultimately, both nations were conquered. And so, we got to be careful sometimes of what we want. God will sometimes give us what you want. I can tell you about some times where God gave me what I wanted. But as we see in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, Jeremiah 23 and 5, and elsewhere, God promised Israel that He would give them a king. And not just any king, but a king that held ultimate wisdom, guidance, deliverance, and power. God promised them a king above all other kings. He promised the nation of Israel that I will give you the king of all kings. And God, who cannot lie, met Israel's wishes and hopes with a first Christmas gift. Luke chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "And all went to be registered, each into his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the town of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David," or to the place where the best and first, in the eyes of God, the first king after Saul, but the one that actually lived for the Lord, was born, which is called Bethlehem. "But he was of the house and the lineage of David." Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, listen. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star, and when it rose, we have come to worship him." So in this instance, as with all instances, when God meets the wishes and the hopes that we have in our heart, God does not meet our wishes and our hopes with the bare minimum. But we have a God that the Bible says is willing and able to meet our hopes and our wishes and our dreams with exceedingly and abundantly above all that which we could think or ask, is what Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. So I want to tell you this today. Now, God may not give you your Go Glam nail kit. I do believe He's going to give me somebody a Christmas hunt, 2 days, 2 nights in Texas with their daddy. But I promise you this, when He does give you the true wishes and desires of your heart, He's going to do it abundantly and above all that you can ever imagine. But I'm going to tell you something else. There's some other wishes and some hopes that God met there at the first Christmas. Not only did Israel cry out for a king and want a king, they wanted a king. But many times in the Bible we read where they cry out for a Savior and a Deliverer. And they hope that God would send them a Savior. The Bible shows us, Exodus chapter 20, verse 23, during those days the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help, and their help for rescue from slavery came up to God. Judges chapter 4, verse 3, then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people. And the people of Israel with cruelty for 20 years, talking about that they were under the oppression of an ungodly king and they needed someone to come in and save them. They needed a deliverer. And then in Psalms chapter 18, verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From His temple He heard my voice, and my cry to Him reached His ears. And every time that His people cried, God delivered. He provided many men, such as Moses and such as David and many others that would come in, and they were temporary saviors. They were temporary deliverers. However, remember, our God does not do the bare minimum when He meets our wishes and our hopes, but He goes exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could hope or all that we could wish for. And then Isaiah, he makes a promise. He says, I'm going to send you a deliverer. I'm going to send you a Savior. In Isaiah 29, verses 6, or Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us is born this day, for unto us is born a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish with judgment and with justice. For henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. Now I want you to notice this. God says, I'm going to send you a king, and I'm going to send you a deliverer, and I'm going to send you a Savior. But notice what He says. It's going to be born as a child. What's He saying? I'm going to send you a human deliverer. I'm going to send you a human Savior. I'm going to fulfill your hopes. I'm going to fulfill your wishes, and I'm going to send you a man that will come. But not only that, He says, I'm going to send you one that is wonderful. That means that He is astounding. He is miraculous. He is just unfathomable in who He'll be. But then you tie wonderful with counselor, and it means that He will rule with astounding wisdom and justice. But He goes on to say that this Savior, this deliverer that I'm sending to you, He's going to be mighty, a mighty God. He will have the power and the mind of God Himself. Why will He have that power and might? Because He is the everlasting Father. The reason He will have that power and might is because as He comes in a human form, He will be God in the flesh. So He says, the Savior that I'm sending you, remember, He goes above and beyond. I'm not just going to send you a human Savior, but I'm going to send you God in the form of a human Savior to meet your hope and your wishes. He says, but also He's going to be the Prince of Peace. Now listen to this. He will provide the ultimate peace to His people. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. You listen to our sister this morning. The world looking at her would say that her life is at upheaval, in turmoil, like a ship on the waves. But she stood up here this morning and said, God is giving me something in the midst of this that I cannot explain. You know what He says? He says that He will provide us with a peace that goes beyond understanding. You can't describe this peace, but if you've ever felt it, you know and you understand that our God, when He hears and He's ready to answer our wishes and our hopes and our needs, He goes above and beyond. But listen, He doesn't stop there when He's describing this Savior, when He's describing this Deliverer. He goes on to say, and the increase of His government and His peace, there'll be no end. Praise God, not only is a peace that cannot be described, but it ain't never going to end. Or in other words, there will be no end to His kingdom. There'll be no end to His people. There'll be no end to His peace. There'll be no end to His salvation. There'll be no end to His deliverance. And He will provide it to all His people that come to Him. And all of this was delivered in a tiny package a little over 2,020 years ago in a young woman and a young man in Bethlehem. And the angels made the birth announcements using the same words over in Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 10. And the angels said to them, "Fear not, for behold," and I want to tell you this morning, "Fear not, for behold, I give you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people, for whosoever. For unto you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ our Lord. And this will be a sign unto you, and you will find the babe wrapped in the swaddling clothes." And he goes on to say that his name shall be called the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God. And basically he just quotes Isaiah chapter 6, or excuse me, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. So you see today, there's many, many, and I don't like to say this, but many promise, hope, and wish this Christmas season that's not going to be fulfilled. That individual that's looking for that two-day, three-night Christmas deer hunt down in Texas with his daddy, he may not get it this Christmas. But you know what? In the midst of that, he can still have hope. He can still have peace. He can still have promises. You know what else? Those that are hoping for health to return, they can still have peace. Those that are hoping that their marriage is going to last, they not know if it's going to last, but they can still have hope and peace in the midst of it. Those that want to be sober, hey, you know what? You might fall off the wagon, but praise God, He's still there. He's still waiting to give you that hope and that peace. And all that. But there's a few more others. Not only is God the ultimate in fulfilling our hopes and our wishes and our desires and our needs, really, but He is the great promise maker. But not only, how many of you know people that make promise but never fulfill those promises? You see, we've got a God who's a great promise maker, but He's also a great promise keeper. As we think about the wishes and hopes and promises, I want to briefly look at some others real quick. Some promises He made and some promises He fulfilled. The first one is the promise of a supernatural birth. As the king of Judah, if you look in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 4, Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, it says, "And he said, Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." As the king of Judah, a small nation, King Ahaz, was being pressured by Syria and Ephraim to form an alliance against Assyria, which was the great power of that time. Well, God had said, "You don't need to make an alliance with other nations. I'll stand for you. I'm big enough to accomplish this." It would have been a sin for him to link up with these others. But the king had faith. And by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he was led to make a prophecy about how the supreme Savior and Deliverer would come. And that's what we read in Isaiah. He says that a virgin will conceive and give birth. Now, a lot of people, they want to take that word virgin and they want to debate it. Because literally, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it means a maiden, a young woman. Now, it doesn't specifically mean that it'll be one that has never known a man, but the context of the reading says that. So you can debate that all you want. Matter of fact, even if you go over to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 20 through 23, it says, "But he, as he considered these things," Joseph, "beheld an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she bear a son, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save him from his people." All this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet back over in Isaiah. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel." And again, people want to argue that. They want to try to deny the supernatural aspect of the miracle birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But let me tell you this. What's the best commentary on the Bible? the Bible. You can't argue this next part. Listen to what it says over in Luke chapter 1, verses 28 through 35. And he came to her, meaning Gabriel, and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father's David." See here, the promise of the king, the promise of the deliverer, the promise of a supernatural savior. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Now King James puts it like this, "Being as I have never known a man." And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child will be to be born will be called holy, the Son of God." Now when Mary said, "I'm a virgin," she's saying, "I have never known a man." And literally, when you look that up in the Hebrew, that's what it means. But then, just so there's not any misunderstanding, what does Gabriel go on to say? No, this is not going to be just a regular human child. This child will be conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, and he will give birth. So God said, "I'm going to send you a king, I'm going to send you a deliverer, I'm going to send you a savior, but I'm going to send him in a special way as well, so that you'll know that he's not like any, he's not just a temporary deliverer. He's not just a temporary king, but this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today." And I'm going to tell you this. Praise God, it's good to know that God has never lied to me. And you know what? He's never lied, period. And when he says that it's a supernatural birth, it is a supernatural birth. You say, "Brian, why is that so important when I think about my hopes and my Christmas wishes and the Christmas promises?" Because of this, praise God, he don't have to use natural means to meet your Christmas hopes, dreams, and promises today. And I do believe I'm seeing Christmas miracles. I believe I'm seeing it all around me. But not only that, the next one is, and I'm doing my best. I know what you're thinking. The next one is, think about the location of this supernatural birth. When we're preparing to have our child, we do our best to make sure that they are born in a specific place. We do this because, one, it's just safer to have a place set up where you can go and have the baby. And then also, it's just better and easier so that the loved ones can meet up all at the same place. Now, but we know what can happen. Have you ever heard the story about Pat Summit, the great UT women's basketball coach? She was on a recruiting trip in Pennsylvania when her water broke. Then they boarded the plane, but the baby was coming. And the pilot says, "We got to land," but guess what? They were over Virginia, who just so happens had beat them in the championship the year before. And she said this, "My child will not be born in the state of Virginia." And they made it to Knoxville. And from what I can tell, that baby was born basically at the airport there. See, many times we make these plans. And I got to thinking about that. But you think about this. The Bible teaches us, where was Joseph from? Jesus of what? Nazareth. That was their hometown. But Jesus said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem is basically 98 miles from Nazareth. I looked it up. If you travel by foot back then, they could get about 15 to 20 miles a day. Now, that would be a regular person. That's not a man and a woman that's pregnant. So at the best, they had to give anywhere from 5 to 8 days. Could you imagine what could have happened on that trip? At any moment, she could have went into labor. I'd say riding on the back of that donkey didn't do much for her to hold that baby in. I'd say it kind of wanted to help it get out. But listen to what God said. Micah chapter 5 verse 2. "But unto you, O Bethlehem Ephraim, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is a ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from the Ancient of Days." And guess where Jesus was born? God made a promise. He said, "Not only am I going to send it in a supernatural birth, but I'll tell you where I'm going to send it to. I'm going to send it to Bethlehem." Praise God. If you read the scripture, it sounds like they probably got there about just on time. But praise God. God's faithful to His promise today. And then there's also the star. Well, Luke 2, 4, and 11, just to show you he keeps His promise. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. In verse 6, it goes on to say that while they were there, her days were accomplished, that she should be delivered, and she gave birth. And then in verse 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ our Lord." He's the promise maker, but He's also the promise keeper. And last, there's the star. We talked about the star last week, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who was born King of the Jews? For we saw his star and when it rose, and we came to worship him.'" Now, like I said, we talked about it last week, and who knows how it happened or when it happened or whatever. But we know this. Number one, it was not natural. Again, we have another supernatural happening. If you look up the word star, which in the Hebrew is Aster, the Dictionary of Biblical Language puts it this way: interpreted as a celestial body, yet in content, this light source led to the single residence. Hence, not a normal celestial light. But not only that, it had a specific purpose, and that was to guide people to the newborn Messiah. Now, we're told that wise men, magi, we don't know how many, but we line it up with frankincense, gold, and myrrh, and so we have two giants and one smaller one, as you saw in our play this morning. There were three giant shepherds and one smaller shepherd, and they came, gold is heavy, it took them to carry it. No. But you know what else? We're not told that nobody else came because of the star. We know that others knew about the star. The religious leaders around Herod were able to say, "Yeah, the star is there." It guided him. And it was prophesied. God made a promise back in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel, and it shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down the sons of Seth." Other promises I could talk about today. The promise that he would come from the line of the tribe of Judah, out of the line of the tribe of Judah. Could talk about his flight into Egypt, how he had to, Joseph was warned to take him over there. I could talk about how the prophecy of Herod ordering the 2-year-old and younger male boys to be killed. I don't know what else they would be other than male boys. And then there's also the promises surrounding the Messiah at his death, his sacrificing, and his resurrection. All of this is because that this year, there's going to be many expectations. Some will be met, and some will be unmet. But I can tell you this today, that no matter your hope, no matter your wish, no matter the promises, the greatest gift that can be given this year is Jesus Christ.